J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Joni Mitchell is joining fellow singer-songwriter Neil Young in asking for her music to be removed from Spotify. The musicians are protesting against the streaming service, saying it's spreading misinformation about COVID vaccines.
At Spotify, we may have lost a few great artists, but that doesn't mean you can't still enjoy their music, covered by the bands who haven't left.
A boom, 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 boom.
I wanna live with a cinnamon girl. A cinnamon girl.
It's the best of Neil Young and Joni Mitchell, sung by the Cordon Blues.
Hey, old man, take a look at my life.
These guys don't care about COVID or what's true or false. They just want anyone to listen. It's the Joni Mitchell no one asked for.
Boom, boom, boom.
I've looked at life from both sides now.
Boom, boom.
They pay. Paradise, put up a parking lot.
Guaranteed, these guys will never leave Spotify. We've asked them more than once. Spotify, if anybody else leaves, you're getting covered by this guy.
Hey, hey, my, my, rock and roll will never die. Will never, 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 never die.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Again, I sneezed like six times right before I turned on the microphone to do today's podcast. All right, let's just move ahead. Wednesday, March 16th, 2022, 245 days remaining in our American democratic system. As we have noted, how you doing? You are at jcontheline.com. I can hardly believe it. I can hardly believe it. We've been talking about this for years, about how your representatives, your congressmen, your senators have been told that their constituents do not like moving their clocks back and forth twice a year, and it really bugs the crap out of everybody. And why don't you stop doing that? Somebody pass some legislation somewhere. And then they talk to the actual legislators themselves, and they're like, yeah, we agree, we don't like it either. So now you got all of the people that they represent plus the actual representatives themselves, and nobody's ever done anything about it until yesterday. So the Senate passed a bill yesterday to make daylight saving time permanent starting next year if it passes in the House and the president signs it, all of which is expected to happen. We will spring forward for good next March, and nobody has to fall back after that. Now, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, after everybody's saying for the last 100 years that they don't like daylight saving, now that they are going to change it, somebody will step forward and find something wrong with it. It'll be a lot colder and a lot darker at the school bus, or as the weather guys like to say, out the door. What is their obsession with that phrase? Everybody does it. You're a TV weatherman. I think they teach it in school. They you go down to Mississippi State, I think, which is where the big meteorology school is, and they teach you how to say out the door. But it will be colder and it will be darker, you know, and, you know, come cold weather time next year. The first time grandma gets run over by a reindeer at 6:30 in the morning because it's cold and it's dark. Here we go. Now, as far as the war is concerned, I think I reached my rock bottom the other day where I'm thinking to myself, that's it. We're fucked. There's no way we're going to be able to avoid some sort of military confrontation with the Russians. It's going to happen. You can see it coming. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not good. Putin's just crazy enough to wheel out the nukes. And then, you know, there goes the whole ball game, as Walter Cronkite said during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Well, now you wake up this morning and they're like, well, we might be able to reach a deal. Now, part of what happened yesterday is the president of Ukraine, which is sort of like John Stewart running the United States. You know, the guy was like a big, he was the most popular comedian in Ukraine, and he runs for president. Next thing you know, he's not only the president, but he's also managing a war against one of the, you know, superpowers on the planet. And so yesterday he says, well, maybe we could figure out a way to not join NATO, but we would have some sort of protection, but we wouldn't actually join NATO. That was yesterday. And so I wake up this morning and they're like, there's a possibility we could have a peace deal. And I'm thinking, what? So maybe it is true what they say, the darkest part of the night is right before it starts to turn daylight. As I've said, though, I'm watching less and less every day, less and less and less of the war coverage because I just can't do it. I can't take it. And this is very unlike me. I've been able to watch everything, all of the atrocities in the world, all of the man's inhumanity against man. I've never had to say, well, I got to stop watching, but I've stopped watching this. You know, I'm watching movies and stuff like that. Just anything not to see, you know, babies and pregnant mothers losing, you know, both wives. Somebody do something. Price of gasoline is appearing to come down just as fast as it went up. Price of a barrel of oil is down like $40. That has not yet been reflected in the price of gasoline. It is coming down, but it's not coming down as much as it should. Imagine that. Yesterday, Pfizer comes along and says, if you're over the age of 65, you're going to need another booster. People start jumping up and down, yelling and screaming, no, 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 I don't know what the big deal is. If the data suggests that the booster shot loses its effectiveness over a protracted period of time and that you got to get one more booster shot if you're over the age of 65 so that you don't die or become hospitalized and get really sick, I'm rolling up my sleeve right now. I just don't. But there's a spike in China, and I think they said there's a spike in Great Britain. And as we know, whatever happens over there, it takes a couple of weeks and it pops up over here, just like the fucking Spice Girls. I wouldn't throw the mask out yet. On this date in 1990, I was in New York City to interview a very, very sick Kevin Kline from St. Louis. And he had some sort of cold or flu or something. And he just looked like death warmed over. You could tell he was not feeling well. He was not in a particularly good mood. He wasn't very upbeat. I was very disappointed, but I know how I get sometimes. You're really, really sick and but you've committed to something that you've got to do. And so you go and you just try to put on the best face you can, but it doesn't work. You just don't make it. And people go, what the hell's wrong with him? And then people find out later, they go, oh, he's sick. That's what people don't understand. I got a guy all over me yesterday talking about, you know, he met me like 30 years ago and I wasn't nice to him or something. I was like, well, is it possible like when you approached me, you were a jerk? And so maybe I just, you know, pulled back a little bit. Was I in the middle of a remote broadcast where I had to say, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I got to put my headphones on, grab this microphone and start talking. Did somebody just do something that made me freak out a little bit? That happens sometimes at personal appearances and live remote broadcasts where something happens. There's got to be somebody back at the station running the controls and sort of managing everything, and they don't always do what you tell them to do, and you end up sounding like an idiot on the air because somebody was supposed to push a button at a certain time and they didn't. All these sorts of things can sort of play into the kind of reception you get from me or anybody else. For that man, a guy yesterday posted on Facebook, they didn't like me because I was a frat boy. A frat? Did you see me in college? Have you ever seen a picture of me? I look like a heroin dealer. I was not in a fraternity. And to this day, I still think fraternities are the stupidest fucking thing ever. I didn't even usually date girls from sororities. Frat boy. It's like Bob Costas used to say, and this was a great analysis. Bob Costas said, you know, there's three kinds of criticism. First kind is a legitimate observation that somebody makes about something that you're doing where you say to yourself, you know what, he might be right. Maybe I should do this a different way. So legitimate. The second kind of criticism is where somebody says something and you're like, yeah, I see your point, but no, that's not going to work. It doesn't work that way. You don't know enough about what you're talking about here to understand why that would not be a good idea. So I'm sorry, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And then the third kind of criticism is the favorite. That's the one where it just comes out of fucking left field. And you're like, what? Like when somebody calls J.C. Corcoran a frat boy. of all the things that people have ever said about me in almost 38 years of broadcasting in St. Louis, that one might be the best. Although on my quirk board next to my desk in our office at K-Hits that I shared with Carl the intern and the wonderful Laurie Mack, I did have a letter from a guy on the, on the wall who called me a putz. And he spelled it P-U-T-T-S. I enjoyed that one. I think it was Carl who once said, by the way, this business and this job would be so much more fun without listeners. I understand your point, Carl, but at the same point, that's sort of against everything that we're, never mind. Anyhow, I love you to death. And one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on television, this is one of those things where you have to say to yourself, it's going to happen every once in a while, even if you're prepared, even if you're a seasoned veteran, you interview people and something completely unforeseen takes place, or somebody says something and you're like, hold it, what? So Kevin Steincross, who you may recall, was on Fox 2 for a long time, did the entertainment stuff, but also anchored some of the early morning newscasts. And in one of the great, almost inconceivable injustices I've ever seen in St. Louis, Kevin Steincross ended up losing his job because he said a word by accident, just came out the wrong way, and they tried to make him sound like he was a bigot and was harboring these ideas in his mind, and that's, they were back in the rear of his head, and so when he said it is what he was really harboring, all it was all bullshit. It was total bullshit. I've known Kevin Steincross for 100 years. Guy doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He's not a bigot. He's a member of a minority group. I can't really say what it is because he's never acknowledged that he is a member of that minority group, but trust me, he is. And the whole idea was just stupid. And not only, you know, a lot of times something like that happens and they're like, you just got to go away for a year or two, but then you resurface maybe at a different station or something like that. Still, nothing. I don't know what he's doing. He's falling off the face of the earth. But that's another one of those things that people don't understand. There's things going on that you don't know about. Like when you're watching TV, you've seen a little earpiece that people have in their ear. Everybody who's on television has to have one of those things in their ear because the producer on the other side of the glass might have to communicate with you, might have to say something like, the recorded piece that we were supposed to run here in a second is malfunctioning. We're not going to have it. Or cut it short. We're going to have to go to a bulletin from the network here in 15 seconds. Or reach up and wipe your nose really fast. I don't know what happened, but somehow something came out of your nose and it's hanging on the top of your lip. Quick, reach up and just brush the front of your face. And so you got that little earpiece in. But sometimes this happens in sports coverage all the time. They're talking to you while you're talking. So you're trying to read this story like, okay, so this is me. The Senate passed a bill yesterday to make daylight saving time permanent starting next year. If it passes the House and the president signs it, we'll spring forward for good next March. That's what you hear and what you see. But what the reporter who's on television is hearing is his or her own voice, but also hearing this. The Senate passed a bill yesterday to make daylight saving time permanent starting next year. If it passes the House and the president signs it, we'll spring forward for good next March. So now imagine that. Imagine that. You're saying, like I said, even if you're a seasoned professional, it's very, very unnerving to be talking and somebody else is talking in your ear as you're speaking. And that's why you can flub a word every once in a while. I'm not making excuses. I'm just explaining what it is, what the situation is really like. Easy to make a mistake. But anyhow, back to the central part of the story. Right before all this stuff happened at Fox 2 with Kevin Steinkrus, he was interviewing Kevin Kline. I forget what it was for. And he was trying to really, you know, push home the St. Louis connection. And he was talking about, so, you know, how often do you get back here? And he's like, oh, not really that often anymore. You know, we used to have family, but they don't live there anymore. And blah, 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 whatever. And he goes, well, don't you miss Ted Drews? And Kevin Kline just looks at him like, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, no, Ted Drews. Do you miss Ted Drews? He goes, I don't know what Ted Drews is. And Kevin just like freaked. He was looking at him like, wait a minute. You're from St. Louis? I'm going way out of my way here to try to establish that St. Louis connection, you know, between Hollywood, Kevin Kline, and his hometown of St. Louis. And I'm talking about Ted. And he asked him a third time. And Kevin Kline was like, I, will you please stop saying that? Because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So he just hit home the idea that he left St. Louis at a fairly early age and either didn't know or forgot what one of the great landmarks in St. Louis actually is, which seems mildly inconceivable, but it happened. I made my debut on the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Del Mar Gardens, KMOX, on the state back in 1993. Actually, it was yesterday in 1993. 53 wonderful shows were to follow, and that was it. I laugh about it now. In 87, the Admiral reopened. Boy, they had high hopes for that. Oh, my God. And they hired all these singers and these dancers and entertainers and, you know, barbershop quartets and banjo players who were trying to bring back this whole idea of the SS Admiral. And boy, oh, and I remember they brought in celebrities. Christy McNichol was in for some reason. Got a chance to interview her. She was very, very nice. And it was before she came out. And I can't remember how long the relaunch of the Admiral actually lasted, but it was, I don't even think it was a year before they realized, we are losing our shirts here. Shut her down, boys. And one of my favorite stories, 1986 on this day, 7:45 in the morning. I will never, ever, ever forget this. Got up in the morning. I didn't really feel very well. After I'm up a little while, I'm sure I'll be fine. Go into the radio station, sit down. I'm really, really not feeling well. And it's one of those things where you can actually feel your situation deteriorating as time goes on. You can actually feel yourself circling the drain, about ready to go down. And I made it to 7:45. Now, you got to remember, in those days, the way the KSHE studios were set up is that John Hewlett, who did the news for me and also co-hosted the show and did such a wonderful job in that capacity, was actually two rooms over from me. So I was in the main studio, and then to my left was a studio that they used for recording commercials during the day and stuff like that. And then one studio over from that is where John was. So we were actually looking at each other through two panes of glass. And there was one of those fairly large trash cans right underneath the console that I would use to run the controls, and I heaved. And I don't mean a little bit. I heaved up stuff that I think I ate when I was 11 years old. It was just brutal. And I pushed a little intercom button and said to John, who was in two studios over, I said, John, I just threw up. And he looked at me like he had never even heard of the idea of somebody in the middle of a live radio show throwing up. So I made it a few more minutes, but my body just turned cold. My hands and my feet felt like I had an ice water. And I just told him, I said, John, I can't do this anymore. I feel like I'm going to pass out. So John came running in and he took the controls, took over the show at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And the only thing I could think of was to just lay down on the floor, sort of to the rear of the studio, even though the studio is not very big back then. And I remember the boss came in, the program director came in like an hour later, and I was still laying on the floor. The floor of that studio, by the way, well, let's just put it this way. I probably contracted some sort of disease from what was on the floor in that studio that my immune system is probably still trying to fight off today. And that was the first and the only time that that has ever happened to me. That was on a Friday. I still remember it was on a Friday. And later that night, I was at home laying on the couch, just barely alive. And it was that episode of Miami Vice that I was in as an extra, along with Frank Zappa, Don Johnson, Philip Michael Thomas, the whole thing. But Zappa was in that, and we had recorded that earlier in the year, and it finally aired that night. I still remember Channel 5 Dick Ford reading the story. You know, our own J.C. Corcoran was on it. Miami Vice. Here's the clip. Was, you know, party scene for like 4 seconds. But you know what? Still made for a good story. All right, let's do some showbiz news here. Stephen Colbert developing a primetime special called Pickled, featuring celebrities playing pickleball, that new sport that's kind of a cross between tennis, ping pong, and paddleball. John Hewlett, speaking of him, by the way, big pickleball guy. Mike Tyson's pot company is making edible gummies in the shape of an ear with a bite taken out of them. I'm sure Evander Holyfield just is doubled over in laughter over that, huh? Selena Gomez creating a comedy series for Peacock inspired by the John Hughes classic 16 Candles. It's going to be called 15 Candles, and it'll follow four Latina high schoolers as they prepare for their senior year. Keith Richards doesn't think the Stones are going to be selling their music catalog anytime soon. He said it's a sign of getting old and that they might drag that out a bit and put more stuff in the catalog. We told you yesterday the story about Rod Stewart fixing potholes near his house. Well, now the municipality he lives in is mad because they're like, hey, you can't do that yourself. It requires proper management, safety measures. You're putting people at risk. He was not able to drive his Maserati anymore because of the potholes, so he fixed the potholes himself. Bunch of people want to help Dolly Parton fulfill her lifelong dream to put out a great rock album. Nancy Wilson of Heart in on that. While some of the materials regarding Bob Saget's death have been permanently sealed, as we told you yesterday, the Orange County Sheriff's Office released its incident report on the matter, hoping to prove once and for all that his death was an accident, and it seemed to achieve just the opposite. They say that Bob arrived back at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Orlando about 2 o'clock in the morning on January 9th following a performance. The valet said he didn't notice anything odd like slurred speech or balance issues or anything like that. He even took a selfie with the guy, which they published yesterday. Bob was observed on security video walking across the lobby toward the elevators, then from the elevators to his room. This, by the way, a reminder that you are always being recorded, but I digress. Anyhow, Bob was by himself, and he didn't stop or interact with anybody else. He got inside his room. His door was never unlocked or opened until security found his body later that day. Police found no evidence of foul play or anybody else being in the room. Based on his injuries, they think Bob hit his head on something hard but padded. The two likely culprits would be the headboard or the carpeted floor. People ain't buying it. All right, late night tonight, Amy Schumer is on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Andrew Garfield, Michael Bublé on with Stephen Colbert. James Corden is Rosario Dawson. And Duran, Seth Meyers as Kenneth Branagh. Fox cameraman and a Ukrainian journalist working for the network killed by Russian forces a couple of days ago. The one girl helping him out was 24 years old. Netflix coming out with a 5-part animated Dr. Seuss project for preschool age kids. They'll be inspired by stories like The Sneetches and Horton Hears a Who. Birthdays today, Wolfgang Van Halen, son of Eddie and Valerie, 31. Alexandra Daddario, the one with the piercing blue eyes. The only person I've ever seen with eyes even more piercing, PJ Randhawa. Channel 5, she's just left to take a job in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. Alexandra Daddario, 36. Looks good with her shirt off, too. She's got a couple of, you already know. What am I telling you? You've already seen it. Lauren Graham from the Gilmore Girls, 55. Nancy Wilson of Heart, 68. Eric Estrada, 73. Chuck Woolery is 81. And 51 years ago today, 1971, 13th Annual Grammy Awards, Simon & Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water won Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Contemporary Song, Best Arrangement by Accompanying Vocalists, Best Engineered Record. That was 1971. I'm still getting over the idea that Chuck Woolery is 81. God! 41% of dog owners who've been working from home say they'll miss their dog more than their spouses or their kids when they go back to the office. Also, the American Kennel Club just put out its annual list of the most popular dog breeds. Labs continue to be number one, again, 31st year in a row. The top five are Labs, French Bulldogs, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, and Poodles. New research suggests that the goal of hitting 10,000 steps a day is a myth. But there is a number of steps to target. It's less. Getting 6,000 to 8,000 steps a day reduces the risk of early death by 54%. This is a weird stat, but it does prove, I guess, that we are all the same somewhere way deep down inside. 20% of us have eaten food out of the trash. That doesn't mean you went dumpster diving necessarily. Maybe you just threw half a donut away and then thought to yourself, you know what? I think I want the rest of that donut. And you look in the trash can and it didn't really touch anything else. So you reach in there and you grab it again. This is something I've never done, but I'm just trying to imagine the scenario. The most common reason people gave for eating trash was that it looked perfectly fine, in their opinion. And the poll also found that one in six people have eaten food while sitting on the toilet. So what was it? It was Tide Pods that people were eating, and then Trump was telling people to take bleach, get rid of the virus. What was the other thing their kids were doing? I can't remember. But now we have fitness influencers. They're telling people to drink fish tank cleaner with a chemical in it called methylene blue. It's supposed to keep you young, but doctors say it's dangerous, could even kill you, especially if you're on certain medications like antidepressants. And a man in Canada arrested for stealing a woman's toque while he was wearing rollerblades and skating through downtown Victoria with a hockey stick, which he was banging on trash cans. The most Canadian story I've ever read in my life. And Sandra Bullock announced she's taking a break from her career to raise her kids. Tom Brady was like, I give it 40 days. And with that, we say that's it. J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, March 16th, 2022 is in the can. 245 days remaining in our democratic political system as we have known it. Folks, we have some good news coming. It's all I can say right now. But we have some good news coming, something I think you're really going to like. Should be able to tell you about it soon. And by soon, I mean not more than a couple of weeks max. But hang on, it's coming. In the meantime, help keep us in the top 10 of all podcasts in the country. That's where we are right now. We only do politics here when it's absolutely unavoidable. You can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. We're here every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived right here. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.